Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
All righty then. I'm going to read one of these for the sake of time. All right, here we go. George loved the racetrack. One day he was betting on the ponies and losing his shirt when he noticed a priest who stepped out onto the track and blessed the forehead of one of the horses lining up for the fourth race. Lo and behold, this horse, a very long shot, won the race. George was most interested to see what the priest did the next race. Sure enough, he watched the priest step onto the track as the fifth race horses lined up, placed his blessing on the forehead of the horses. George made a beeline for the window, placed a small bet on the horse. Again, even though after another long shot, the horse the priest had blessed won the race. George collected his winnings and anxiously waited to see which horse the priest bestowed his blessing on for the sixth race. The priest showed, blessed a horse, George bet on it, and won. George was elated. As the day went on, the priest continued blessing one of the horses, and it always came in first. George began to pull in some serious money, and by the last race, he knew his wildest dreams were going to come true. He made a quick stop at the ATM and withdrew every penny he owned and awaited the priest's blessing that would tell him which horse to place the bet on. True to his pattern, the priest stepped out on the track before the last race and anointed the forehead, eyes, ears, and hooves of one of the horses. George placed his bet, every cent he owned, and watched. The horse came in dead last. George was dumbfounded. He made his way to the track, and when he found the priest, he demanded, "What happened, Father?" "All day you blessed horses and they won. The last race you blessed the horse and he loses. Now I've lost my life savings thanks to you." The priest nodded wisely and said, "That's the problem with you Protestants. You can't tell the difference between a simple blessing and the last rites." I gotta tell you something. Well, I've got two things in my mind here. One thing is, do you ever make these terrible faces when you're a kid? I got three little girls, and either I started this or something, but my little girls are all, if you take your eyes like this and you push your nose up like that, you can make some really interesting faces doing this. Well, my 7-year-old and 6-year-old have figured out how you do that, you know? Well, my 2-year-old, now when all this starts, she'll get her hands and do this. She just puts her little fingers and pulls her eyelids down. Of course, she thinks she's the meanest looking thing on the planet. So we're having all kind of interesting things at my house. You can pray for Rebecca too, and I told her I was going to tell this if she didn't tell it Monday, so here we go. She's been really sick for a few days. I can't believe I'm telling this story, but here we go. She felt well enough to put Catherine in bed the other night, and Rebecca's on like this codeine stuff, and things are not going well. So she got Catherine, 2 years old, goes in the room, closes the door in the dark, because Catherine's about to go to sleep. And Rebecca goes over to the rocker in the room and puts her hand down on the arm of the chair with Catherine and sits down. The problem is the arm of the chair is over there, is the chair. So Rebecca lands on Noah's Ark in the room, and I'm in the other room kissing the girls goodnight. I'm like, she's gone through the wall. I mean, there's just this sound. So we go in there and get Rebecca out of Noah's Ark. She's okay. You know, when something like that happens and you're there, you know, your wife's sick, you're just glad she's not injured or impaled or something, but then you're trying not to laugh because it's like, because you know she's hurting a little bit, but she's laughing too, but she can laugh, but you can't laugh. You know, it's, oh, that was a tough one. So we got her in the chair and in the bed and she's feeling better. So pray for Rebecca and her placement in the rocking chair. All right, the title of today is Lord Have Mercy, or some of you say Lordy Mercy. And it's something we throw around, or something people say, it's just kind of one of those phrases, one of those cliches, and something happens, people say, oh Lord have mercy, what are we going to do? It's something we throw around, but I'm going to tell you something guys, there's times when you really need it. And it's funny, today, the last few days, and every once in a while this will hit me, I went yesterday to see a guy in the hospital who had a pacemaker put in. You know, and you get in these situations with these people and you sit down, you hear these stories, and you think, Now, why is this stuff happening to somebody else? Why do I stand here today healthy? I mean, I know God works through all these things, but God has been so merciful. And not just in terms of health. If you think of all the things that you have done, I mean, I have people I talk to, this guy in particular I went to visit, he said, you know what, I should have been dead years ago. And it wasn't about his heart. It was about just the way he had lived, things he had done. Think for a minute about the places you have been, situations where you were so wasted maybe. We had a few in here that know what that means. You were so sloshed or wasted or whatever your word is, you got in a car and you drove somewhere. And not only did you not die, but you didn't kill anybody. God had mercy on you. Every day I get in my car, and if you really stop and think about these things, if you get in your car and drive and think about what you're doing, you would never drive again. Especially on two-lane roads with no median in the middle. And this morning I'm driving down the freeway and I look up and I realize there are cars coming this far away from me, 4 or 5 feet in the other lane. And I'm driving through cars with cars coming at me. I mean, if one of us swerves and gets off track, you're toast. And we just take these things for granted. We jump, we get up, go, jump in cars here and there, and we think, you know what? This is just the way it happens. God has been merciful, so merciful to every one of us that we're alive, number one, because stupid things could happen because of things we did, but just that he's protecting us from other things that could happen to us. People out there who maybe they are wasted. And they're driving home, and somehow they don't hit you. I mean, there's a lot of tragedy, and I'm not saying God's not merciful to those people, but we have been given so much mercy, and the scripture is full of this stuff. I mean, if we all got what we deserved, every once in a while, you know, you see an ant on the counter in the kitchen or somewhere. I mean, it's merciless. I mean, the average person sees an ant. I mean, I have never seen anybody yet see an ant and go, oh, here, little bitty ant, and get him on the paper. You know, I don't see people hauling ants outside and go, okay, go see your family, you know. And I mean, we see an ant, and if you're, you know, kind of this way you do it, you just go with your thumb, and it's over. And you look down and go, ooh, and flick it. Now, as the insects get bigger, you stop doing that. Then it's a tissue, and then you squish it, and you know. But something about an ant, you just go, and he's gone. You know, you think about our size, we're not even ant size to God. If you think about the universe, the Bible says that God holds the universe in the span of his hand from his thumb to his middle finger. And we can't even find the end of the universe. Now, there's an end to it, and I'll tell you what's out there. Big old fingerprints. But somewhere in the span of his hand is a little bitty planet called Earth. They can't find life on anything else but this one little planet. That it is a speck. Our planet's a speck. And somewhere on it, here we sit. And God has the power. His thumb would blow through the whole universe if he even tried to squash us. And here we sit, alive, well, jobs, homes, family, a lot of things going wrong maybe, but God has been merciful to every one of us. Why does he just not wipe me out? You say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, Christians screw up too, and at some point God says, you know what, enough's enough, you're safer home than there. Or there's people out there you wish God would squash. Got any ex-husbands you think God would like to squash? You'd like to help? Ex-wives, didn't want to be discriminating there in any way. But there are people out there who have done you wrong, you want to squash. You know what, we've all done God wrong, and we deserve whatever he dishes out on us. But what does he give us? Mercy, grace in time of need. Now, I'm going to read you a few verses, and there's so many of these. And if you want to write these down, or I recommend sometime, and I don't know, I don't assume anything, but if you look in the back of your Bible, sometimes a Bible will have what's called a concordance. And in the back of the Bible, if you'll find your concordance and look up the word mercy, then when you see it, it'll give you all the passages, or a lot of them at least, not every single one of them. And you can look up a word like faith or mercy. And I highly recommend, if you don't know how to study the Bible, it's a good way just to jump in and say, God, show me all the verses, at least that are listed here, about mercy, and see what it is. There are just hundreds of them, literally, in the scripture. But let me read you a few and start with Psalms. Psalm chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, middle part of verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Have mercy on me. Psalm 23:6. You know the 23rd Psalm, the last phrase of it. Surely, goodness and mercy. And I know a family that named their daughters that, but that's a whole nother deal. Surely, goodness, and mercy. Now you'll never be able to read that again. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. Has God been good to you? Has He been merciful to you? It's like it's following you around. That's what He says. It's like goodness and mercy are following me around everywhere I go. God has been so good to me and so merciful to me. Psalm 27, verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Now, things are pretty bad when your mom and dad ditch, aren't they? And some of you know what this is like. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And then Psalm 33:18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in You. And then Psalm 51, you know, David screwed up, to say the least, with Bathsheba and having her husband killed. Just a disaster. And he starts Psalm 51 by saying, have mercy upon me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Either you, me, or somebody we know needs mercy today. And I'm going to give you just a few categories. You sit down with a man who's cheated on his wife and listen. You say, well, he deserves whatever he gets. No, we all deserve whatever we get. But God can forgive. There's consequence. Now, I know if you're on the other side of this, you're the wife who's been cheated on. But let me tell you something. There's pain on both ends of that. And a man who repents and realizes what he's done wrong is crying out to God for mercy. David knows what that feels like. Or a woman. Either way, you sit down with a woman who's cheated on her husband. And she may not get mercy from her husband, and a husband may not get mercy from the wife, but I'm going to tell you something. You will always get mercy from God. There's going to be consequence to whatever you do, but there is mercy. The consequence, I don't believe, it's rarely ever what we really deserve. God is merciful. It could always be worse. And it's interesting to me, God talks a lot about mercy, and to the degree that you give mercy, it's like you receive that mercy. And it's hard to talk God and be merciful to me when you're not merciful to somebody else. But there are people around you who are hurting. You take an alcoholic and comes home drunk and beats a kid and sobers up and realizes what he's done. I'm going to tell you something, he needs mercy. She needs mercy. And there are people that we walk around with every day, go to work, we know everything looks fine, but if you sit them down, my wife today was in a situation, she called me on the phone after this happened, saw a girl that she knew, this girl literally walked up, when she saw Rebecca, she fell completely almost apart in her arms. And this Rebecca didn't see this girl a lot, if ever. But the girl felt safe enough and comfortable enough with my wife that she fell in her arms basically and began to just weep uncontrollably and said, my husband and I are separated. Our marriage is falling apart. Now, I don't know what happened. I'm going to tell you something. That woman needs some mercy. Whatever's going on in that home, she needs the grace of God, the mercy of God, whatever's caused it. There are people around you who need mercy, and they need to see us bestow this mercy before they're ever going to believe God can give them mercy. See, we say we believe in a God who's merciful. If His own children, His own people are not merciful, how in the world is He going to be merciful? They watch us and say, well, you can't even love each other and forgive each other and be merciful to each other. Then this God you serve, if you don't think He's merciful to you, you're not merciful to me. Why do I need Him? But they watch you bestowing mercy and being forgiving and gracious to people around you, then they're going to buy it a whole lot faster that He's that way if you're that way, because you're His kids, if you are truly a believer. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 103:8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on who? On those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Now, if you've screwed up and you need mercy, I want you to think right now about what it is you need mercy for. From God, a husband, a wife, kids, maybe you said something to your kids. Maybe you're in a position at work where you're over people and you have done something at work that you have to go in, or someone's done something at work and they're going to need some mercy. And you're in a place to either fire them or extend mercy. Now, whatever's going on, I want you to think about it, and especially if it's something you have done. What is keeping you from going to God right now, today, before you go to sleep tonight and saying, you know what, God, I haven't come to you because I didn't know what you'd do to me. And I've been running and hiding and playing games with you, acting like you didn't know and I wasn't going to admit to it, but I'm done. I'm here and I'm putting myself at your what? At your mercy. And whatever you do, that's fine with me. But God, I got nowhere to go. And I'm confessing if I've done this, whatever it is, I confess that I've done it. I know that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead to offer forgiveness to me. So I'm accepting that forgiveness and I'm asking for mercy, especially in the consequences. That is where I believe we really get the mercy, is in the consequences. And I can tell you story after story of people who have made mistakes, things that have happened, and God has been so merciful because it could be so much worse if they really got, and this passage talks about, he doesn't give us really what we deserve or what's coming to us. If you want a great one in Psalm 136, the whole chapter, I think every verse has the word mercy in it. Every verse. It's, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, his mercy endures forever. This whole deal, it's like a song. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. The whole deal for 26 verses ends up in his mercy endures forever. Some of those in there tell some of the stories, some of the things that he does, who remembered us in our lowly estate, rescued us from our enemies, who gives food to all flesh, just basic stuff. He's merciful to us. This is a great one. It's Proverbs 28:13. Now listen, if you're not listening yet, listen now. He who covers his sins will not prosper. Psalm 28:13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. If you wonder why you're not prospering, then ask yourself, are you covering your sins, trying to hide from God something that's going on? God says, if you will confess and forsake them, then I'll have mercy. The gentleman I saw yesterday, for however many years, was a crack addict. He's a successful businessman, smoked crack cocaine. I'm going to tell you something. There are not many of them that make it. He's been clean, I think, for about 11 years. 90%, I think the figures are, of people who smoke crack cocaine don't ever get out. It is the most unbelievable thing. Heroin and crack cocaine, you say, oh, I don't know anything about that. You're surrounded with people who know something about it. Good Christian people who struggle with some of this stuff. And this man, I saw him, he is full and overflowing and thanks God so much for what he's doing in his heart and in his life, and he can't stop talking about Jesus. And it's the most real thing you've ever seen or heard in your life. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Over and over and over throughout the scriptures, God says, look, I'm here. I've sent my son to die, be buried, and raised from the dead to make all this possible. I'm telling you, if you'll just come home, if you'll just come back to me, I'll have mercy on you. Just come on. I know you're dust. I know you're human. I know you're going to screw up. Just come back and let me help you. There's a number of other ones, some in Hebrews, but let me go back to the first page and read you a quick story. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Also he spoke this is Jesus speaking, he says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Two guys go to church. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. One guy's a religious worker and the other guy works for the IRS. It's worse than that. These guys were just awful back then. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus within himself. There's two guys inside praying silently in the synagogue. One of them stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. He's good. God, I'm not like all these other people, namely this fellow right over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You say, well, I fast. I give money to the church. The tax collector standing afar off. This guy's up front up here going, oh, I'm glad I'm not like him. And this guy's way in the back somewhere standing afar off. He would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven. He is bowed, speaking to God, but all he can do is beat on his chest. He is literally in the back of this building, in this church, his head down, bowed before God, contrite and beating literally on his chest. He is in so much pain. He knows something's wrong in his life. He beat on his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, I'm going to tell you what, guys, that's the prayer God's listening for right there. Because you get so overwhelmed with so much sin, so much junk in your life, you can't take it anymore. Sooner or later, you'll find yourself somewhere talking to God, literally beating on your chest, just, you know how you, sometimes it just takes your breath away? You can't take it anymore. God, I'm going to die if I don't get some relief. If I don't get this load off of me, I can't take the guilt. I can't take the pain. I can't take what I brought on myself anymore. You've got to have mercy on me. And that's what God's listening for. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I need mercy because I'm a sinner. That's as simple as it gets. Then Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the second guy, the tax collector, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time he'll lift you up. Bow before him, whatever's going on. Say, Father, Lord, have mercy. I can't take it anymore, and I got nowhere else to go. And only you can and will abundantly pardon. And I'm here admitting what I've done, and admitting that I need your mercy, and I'm asking you to pour it out on me. Not what I deserve, but what I don't deserve, and that's your mercy.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you understand, and we thank you that there have been thousands, millions who have gone before us, who have needed it and found mercy, grace and mercy in time of need. And Lord, either we or someone we know is overwhelmed with the consequences of their actions, their behavior, their sin, and they need mercy from you primarily, Lord. And I thank you that Jesus came, that he lived, he died on the cross, was buried, raised from the dead, he shed his blood to pay our way, to provide mercy when we need it, and grace to help, Lord. There are people listening right now, Father, who need it, and I pray that they would just simply say, Father, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and that they would experience your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy as never before. And for those around us, Lord, who need it, then give us the words, the wisdom to know how to communicate to them that the same mercy we've received, they can receive. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom with those that need our mercy, no matter what they've done. Father, you have forgiven us for so much. The least that we can do is forgive others. And I pray for those that are struggling with maybe letting somebody go emotionally, where there's maybe unforgiveness or just merciless actions or attitudes, Lord, I pray they would turn to mercy today. And in the process of forgiving someone else, Lord, they would receive your forgiveness and that pain and that burden be lifted. We thank you so much for Jesus and what he was willing to do to provide grace and mercy for us, Lord. And I pray that people would see who you are in and through us more every day, especially this day. It could be the last we have. But Lord, someone would see you in us and that we would be ready always to give a reason for the hope that's within us. And we pray in the name of He who is that hope in the flesh. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.